My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, guten Abend,
guten Tag,
buenos dias. Hey, how's it going? Oh, yes, it is. It's another edition of the old podcast here. Going to do this one solo this time around. No matter where you're listening from, I appreciate it. Folks tuned in are actually downloading this thing from all over the place, and the numbers are fantastic. And first of all, thank you so very much. I appreciate that. It beats trying to, you know, figure out maybe if I should, you know, charge for a subscription to the thing, and I'm not. I know that's not going to happen. I can't really see that happening in the foreseeable future. You know, there's this whole thing about giving things away. A lot of times you have to give things away for you to get something back. Give and thou shalt receive. I don't know if that's how it works. But, you know, when we talk about the radio business and getting in front of a microphone or behind a microphone and you're talking and you're doing your thing and you're providing some type of content and you want to be serviceable to your people. And what I mean by my people is my people that are tuned in, that are enjoying this thing. And we thank you so very much for doing so. I ask one favor of you, to please tell other folks about it. You can share it on the Facebook page, on your Facebook if you'd like. Share it on your Twitter. Share it on your YouTube. Share it on your Hootsuite. Share it on your wherever you socialize your media. Write a letter, put a stamp on it, and send it in the mail if that's the way it works. We appreciate everybody who has become a part of this, and I think we're sitting on like 15,000 subscribers or something like that. And that's remarkable. It really is. And, you know, they go, well, you know, that's only 15,000. You know, it's not that many people. Look at it this way. If it was even like 3,000, a fifth of that, let's say there's only 3,000 subscribers, 3,000 downloads of this old podcast. What that would boil down to is the idea that I'm sitting in a room with 3,000 people listening all at the same time. Well, in theory, of course, it's all being consumed at different times because that's why it's on demand. That's why it's a podcast. That's why it works the way that it works. It's kind of fun that way, really. I'm not getting the immediate feedback from the audience, which makes things a little tricky at times because you don't know if certain bits are working or not. Whether your sarcasm or my sarcasm is being actively reflected, that's a whole other matter. The point of this exercise, of course, is to provide some sort of entertainment for you and some cathartic release from me. Because ultimately, you know, I'm getting something out of this too. Granted, yes, I'm giving it away. Like I've done in the past with Radio Memphis, gave a lot away. Had to in the early days. Early days. I mean, we're just now turning three, for God's sake. But the whole concept of, you know, giving some things away, giving airtime away, that's not a bad thing, of course, because you want to make that splash. You want to have you want your audience to understand that you are here operating as a business. End of story. You are a business. Our business is entertainment. We attract an audience by which somebody would pay me money to have a few 30-second moments of time sprinkled throughout the broadcast day to speak to this audience by which we have gathered. That's the theory, at least. Well, it's gotten to be a lot more than that, because we're at the point now where we have stopped giving it away. At least as far as Radio Memphis is concerned. Around here, you know, whatever. But as far as a recorded commercial goes, we are to the point now where we have to say, I have to charge you for it. Can't give it away anymore. Times are tough. Advertising, free things doesn't put bread on the table. And that's okay. We're reasonable. That's just, you know, people have to understand that we are a business. I was dealing with a client, a potential client, I should say, not a client. They probably would, they'll never be after all of this, but somebody who's in the business of food and beverage. Yeah, okay, restaurant. And and the idea was that, and I, you know, they had become hip to me because of who I have been over the years, and I had been educated about these guys' presence, and I let them know that, and I said, hey, listen, you know, if there's anything we can do for you, here's our information. You know, feel free to let me know, and we'll be more than happy to work out some sort of an arrangement. And I get a message back that said, how about you give us some free advertisement? And I understand it's a new business. You don't know unless you ask. And my initial thought was for me to write three words, starting with go and the last word yourself. But that wouldn't have been very professional of me now, would it have been? My next thought was, perhaps I'll paint this scenario for you, potential client. I'll give you airtime on Radio Memphis if you'll allow me, Doc, Diana, Brother Doug, JC King, Gary Dacus, and the rest of the people here at Radio Memphis, and a band to come to your establishment, eat two meals a day. All of us, we have full run of the bar for however long we want, and that'll be that. And the response would be, well, that I would go broke. I wouldn't make any money. Now you get it. Now you totally understand. This is a business. It's nothing personal. This is a business. Yes, we run a radio station here. What we do is we charge money for advertisement. Thank God we are collecting some money off of advertisers. Thank you so much, those of you who have gotten into the advertisement pool. We appreciate you. It's tough out there. It really is. And what's even tougher when you're running something like that, when you're dealing with monetary things, is trying to maintain a level of creativity. Even with this podcast, it's trying to maintain a certain level of creativity to it. The date that this was recorded is irrelevant. I was, before I sat down, I was at a dinner. It was a meeting of some sort. There were people that were speaking at this dinner. And, you know, they're trying to keep it light and trying to be somewhat amusing, and they're trying to deliver their message. And it occurred to me that all attempts to be humorous should be tempered with the ability to be humorous. In other words, if you're not funny, don't try to be. Because there's nothing worse than a bad joke. Oh my God, it's horrible. It's one thing to go out there with material and have a bad audience, but that would mean that you would imply that you knew what you were talking about. Because even bad jokes will still garner some type of a laugh somewhere along the way. Whether it would be somewhat uncomfortable or not is strictly irrelevant. But as a friend of mine pointed out to me, Jack, he said, I think of Mark Twain, who said, to wit, the audience's level of tolerance for your speaking should be equal to the level of tolerance your butt has in that chair. Well put. Maintaining a sense of creativity is so important in what we do in show business. Whether we're doing something like a podcast like this, or we're on the air doing live material, bouncing off of people, talking to people, having some fun, cracking jokes, being silly, delivering content, if you will. Whether you're a musician working solo or with a duo, or You got a full-on band and you hit the stage and you're entertaining. Maintaining a level of creativity is important. You got to keep your work fresh. You got to keep your work original. You got to keep your work your work, not anybody else's. There was some stories that had been floating around at the time of this taping that there were, I think it was USA Today, who had been let go from her job because she had been caught plagiarizing. Well, that's no good. You can't copy what else somebody else has written or said and put it down under your name as though you had a hand in doing that. It doesn't work that way. Of course they're going to fire you. It's not a very professional way to go about conducting your business. Believe it or not, it happens quite rampantly in the broadcast business. It does. People have copied each other for years. Ever since Marconi created it, somebody else came along and did the same thing. Well, Marconi's a good example. He put the whole thing together, but Tesla's standing there going, yo, hey, I'm the one that created the technology. Marconi just kind of put it together. Marconi gets on the air with the Morse code. Shortly after that, Reginald Fessenden comes along and creates spoken word radio. And they're all taking the same thing, of course, at those times. And that's probably not that good of an analogy, but what you're hearing is somebody elaborating on what has already been created. It's still there. It's just being elaborated upon. Well, it comes a point when all of that becomes so watered down and so useless and so contrived, i.e. the year 2014, where you hear statements, and I'd heard them before from other radio professionals in this area, who have said there has not been an original thought in the broadcasting business in 50 years. And I think to a certain extent that is true. Radio Memphis borrows liberally ideas and concepts, but we try to execute them as differently and as creatively and as originally as we possibly can. And you never know. Once in a while, you stumble across something that is somewhat unique and very original and very well thought out, and it becomes a fantastic moment in time. When in the course of my career, when I had worked with one group or another and we parted ways for one reason or another, it would not be unheard of to hear my work that I had created continued to be in use. It was done under the guise of being that what you created under the employment of one group retained its ownership with that group, not with the guy who created it. So in other words, if I created a bit and I was working for a company and I no longer work for that company, that bit still belonged to that company. What they wanted to do with it is not. There's a very famous incident that occurred along those very same lines with David Letterman when he left NBC to move to CBS. Lolo's many years ago. NBC either sued or threatened to sue. I know they threatened to sue at the very least. They threatened Letterman and his bunch, and CBS, over the bit, the top 10 list. And, of course, it would have been ridiculous for anybody else to do a top 10 list. It just, the way that Letterman has done it over the years, it's been a staple ever since he's really been on. And we identify that as being a David Letterman bit. But for NBC to sit there and say, oh, well, you're leaving us, therefore you cannot use that bit anywhere else because it belongs to us. And it is quite silly to think that that actually happened, but it does. But when you water it down and you look at things on a smaller scale, a more of a minute scale, when, say, for example, I record my voice onto a project and that project is still being used, it has to fall under very specific ideas. For example, if somebody comes to me and they say, Rick, I want you to record a commercial for me, and I want your voice on it, and this needs to be somewhat evergreen. We may use this for quite some time. And I come to terms with them, and we agree on a price, and I cut the commercial. They cut me a check. We exchange the items. The client goes about his merry way with his product that he has purchased from me. The money goes into my pocket, and we part ways until we perhaps do business again in the future. It doesn't matter where I'm working at the time or who I'm working for. At that moment, it was a business arrangement, an agreement between me personally and my client. So if I'm no longer with a company where I produced said commercial, that commercial belongs to the client. I can run it till I'm... Hell, Billy Mays was on television long after he died. Yeah, you remember him. This is Billy Mays. You need to clean your laundry with this stuff. And he ran for a long time. And I think his wife tried to sue some company that was running all of his stuff, saying, oh, this is horrible. Every time I turn on late night television, I see my dead husband up there, you know, hawking some type of ridiculous thing. However, when I lend my voice to a project that is under a company, the company that I work for, and that project gets shelved, it doesn't exist, it moves along, therefore it's dead, and then it resurfaces after whoever I did the work for has taken it with them to reuse it for something else and not give me any consideration for it and use it completely different than the spirit by which it was created. That's just being flat out fucking lazy. Disguise the voices all you want. It's still ridiculous. I say that because that has happened. It has actually happened. Our promotions director, she was featured on a couple of the podcasts in this series, Diana Fryer, and I lent our voices to a project, and it's being used in another podcast. No one's listening to it, mind you, but it's out there, and I'm amused, honored to a certain degree. But when you hear it, you just want to shake your head, and you want to go, where was all of that creativity you claim to have that you still have to rely on me, perhaps somebody you don't like or somebody we're not dealing business with anymore, and you've got to go do something else, but you're going to maintain the work as your own? Well, that's not cool. Like I said, I don't really give a shit. That's just an example of why that happens. There, since Radio Memphis came on the scene, there have been so many people, surprisingly, and it's kind of sad and a lot of pathetic, that claim to have been existing before us when, in fact, it really wasn't the case. And look, I'm the first to tell you, we aren't the first internet broadcaster in the city of Memphis. It's been done long before I came. It was done back in the 80s, believe it or not. We just did it differently because we had to apply, creative originality to it. Keep your work pure. Keep it yours. Make it your own. And you find that you go a lot further with that. We would launch an idea, a show, a bit. And then somebody else, a week or two later, would launch the same fucking thing under just a different name, but not by much. Maybe just adding a letter to the alphabet to it. However they want to do it. And it becomes a bit frustrating at times because you sit there and you think, so now I'm working for all of these other people here, trying to make something happen for ourselves, trying to be different, trying to be unusual. Yet what we come up with has been copied by somebody else. it seemed to me, the second Radio Memphis went on the air with the whole thing about being local, within several months, every terrestrial station in the city of Memphis turned around and started talking about local this and local that. They were using local like it was some type of the word local, like it's a buzzword, like a corporate speak buzzword, being destroyed and maligned completely by saying, well, we play local music too.
2 hours on a Sunday.
We play local music too.
2 records an hour.
We play. No, you don't. You don't. And you're not really. I'm amused. You're not hurting my feelings any with it. But I'm amused. What you are hurting is the use of that word and poisoning the well by which people come to rely upon. One of the standards by which Radio Memphis exists is that we will not and never will run pre-recorded syndicated programming. For example, I won't take this podcast and play it on the air. It just seems sort of pointless to do that. When you hear a voice speaking to you on Radio Memphis, it's live. In my estimation, recorded syndicated programming just it loses that magic. It loses that luster. There's something special about sitting down somewhere and listening to your device and hearing somebody speak and knowing, I mean, really knowing that that's a live human being. Which is odd for me to discuss this on a recorded format such as a podcast. It's silly, I know. And it seems backward. I take something that is that is edited and I put that on the air. But I take something that is recorded live with very little editing. Let's just call it post-production. And I lay that out there for the consumption of those of you who tune in or download or subscribe or whatever. This is actually seems more live than what happens in live radio. And that's certainly the case across the board in terrestrial radio, because everywhere you go, all these AM and FM radio stations are, you don't know what's what. You really don't. And it is quite pathetic. I will say this, you know, obviously the commercials are not live. The weather forecast, Eric Procius, he's not really live. He's close to it, but he's not live. And the FSN news that we run at the top of the hour is not live either. However, it has been updated within like a moment or so of it actually going on the air. So, I mean, that's the exception to the rule. But I'm talking about a show. You know, a newscast is an element. A weather forecast is an element. That sort of thing. That's exactly what they are. When you hear Brother Doug, Doc, myself, Diana, when we get on the air and we're talking and we're saying things and we're telling you about certain events, go out to a blah, blah place and see so-and-so band. We've got this thing happening over here. We got this going on. Hey, check this out. You want a T-shirt? You can go here, blah, blah, click this, click. That's all live. When there's two of us in here rapping about something, having a conversation, that's all live. We don't know. There's no script. It's like with this thing. When I first launched from Radioland, this podcast, my thought was, okay, how deep do I really want to produce this? What are the limits to that? Now, I want to be different. I want to be fresh. I want to be as unique as I can be. Now, look, I know there are, 10 million podcasts? And I think that's not even an exaggerated number. I may be lowballing that number. There are a shitload of podcasts. And for me to be, not to really compete with that, but to be able to share your ear with those other shows makes me feel very special. And I appreciate that. Trust me, the more I delve into this, the more appreciative I have become over the weeks of doing this. That it's important for me as an entertainer for you to get the bang for your buck. You're investing time. You might be driving somewhere right now. You might be riding a train into town. You might be on a plane somewhere. You might be on a boat. You you might be sitting down having the uh-huh conversation with your wife. You know what the uh-huh conversation is? Where you're not even paying attention and every once in a while you go, uh-huh. You might be working out in the yard. I listen to podcasts when I'm out, when I go for a walk. Or when I'm doing yard work, which is sadly not enough. But when I'm out there, yeah, I'll do that. I'll listen then. If I know I'm going to be someplace for a set number of moments that I can spare without having to deal with a telephone, then I'll listen to a podcast. And it's a great use of time, especially when you're doing something mind-numbing. Or I'll do this sometimes when the wife is watching something on the DVR that she has taped and I'm not really into it. Of course, I always ask her permission. Do you mind if I just sort of tune out here and listen to something else? I'll sit here. And it's always, oh, no, go ahead, knock yourself out. She knows I'm not necessarily into some of the things that she likes. And vice versa. It's no big deal. It's part of what makes a happy relationship, I suppose, is being able to somewhat compromise. But at any rate, I've digressed completely. I went down a completely different rabbit hole here. When I created this, the question was, how deep do I want to go in production of this? And do I want to sit down and say, okay, week one we'll have this topic. Week two we'll talk about this. Week three we'll do this. I need to make sure I say this, this, and this. I need to. Next thing you know, I've got a damn script. I got, you know, cards. I've got cues. I'm trying to hit this. I'm looking at the clock, trying to make sure we do it on this time. We got this bit. We got to go. No, it's not like that. Now it's when I'm setting the gear up and I'm sitting down. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, what do I want to start with? And let's see where it goes from there. That's where I'm used to working. Ad lib. Hell, I can read a script, man. I can read a script with the best of them. I'm a script reading son of a bitch, man. That's where I learned. Now, improvisational speaking, which is exactly what this is, got to put a little thought into it. Got to think for a moment. For all the weeks that I've been doing this now, I've gotten to be a lot more comfortable with it. At first, it felt really awkward and strange. Because, you know, all in all, you are sitting in a room, speaking into a microphone, and no one's looking at you. Unless the dog is in the room and he looks at you and he breaks wind and walks out, looking over his shoulder when he does so, going, I'll just leave this with you. My attempt to be entertaining is part of the fun. And I think, you know, going back, I don't know that I'll ever listen to any of the ones in the past. But if I do, I'm sure I'll cringe when I hear this stuff. But the idea is to be creative. And here's the beauty of it. Those of you who earnestly listen and enjoy this, first of all, thank you again. Secondly, get to be privy to a very unique and beautiful process by which you can make those comparisons from the early days of this podcast to the present. I love it when I have somebody in here. I love it when we do an interview. Jeff and I, we have such great fun together. He's pretty much my ad hoc partner on this thing. He's not always available, but he does bring in people from time to time. There for a while, we've been out on the road with it, having a great time. In fact, he's about to launch a podcast that I'm going to guest host with him on that, which should be interesting. More on that later. I've got irons and fires, people that you would not even begin to understand. But it all is, and it all points back to one thing, and that is the exercise in creativity. Being creative, using what you have been given, whether it is good or not, is not your call when you are attempting or being creative. Everybody can be creative. Everybody can. You might sit there and say to yourself, well, I can't paint a picture, but I want to. Get a brush and some paint and try it. You might find something that turns your crank. And when that happens, you might find somebody that agrees with you. This is no different. I used to really get hung up on the fact that I am doing this silly podcast by myself at times. And I wonder, does anybody really care? And the correct answer is, I don't. I enjoy doing this. I do know of some folks that do find some of this stuff amusing and entertaining. And to you, thank you. Those that don't, you've already tuned out by now, and it's not worth wasting more thought on. Those of you that are musicians out there and want to pursue it, do so with great gusto. Reach inside yourself and find things about yourself that you never knew existed and make it happen correctly. Make it fresh. Make it yours. Keep your work honest. And you'll never have to worry. Make the things, the messages that you want to say, yours. Sure, we can't help but saying what other people have said. Usually by coincidence is where a lot of that comes from. It seems as though we're being copied. Well, I thought the same thing, or I said the same thing. This guy knows what he's talking about because I said the same thing. It's easy to sit there and go, you know what? That son of a bitch copied me. He's been listening to me. It's egotistical of me to think that way. It's more likely that I share the same opinions as a lot of other people, so that's all well and good. But having said that, when I hear my work, my voice being played back on another podcast, granted nobody really listens to, that is out there, without my permission, mind you, is at first a bit unnerving. It really is. When you hear your stuff, it's what the hell is this? It is. It's a bit unnerving. It's a bit. It's not. It doesn't really make you angry. It's just. It. You just shake your head. I don't know. Maybe a lesser guy would be a lot more angry. But it points to a basic problem and a basic reality here is that was nothing more than an exercise in plagiarism, lies, futility. It's far easier in my estimation. I know, and it seems counterproductive, but it seems far easier for me to create something myself than it is for me to look at what else is out there and take that and make that my own. I'm not talking about cover songs. Hell, I'm not even talking about the music I use in this podcast. The U.S. Army Band did the music for this podcast. You know why I use it? Because I like it. That's why. And it's royalty free. Every once in a while I mention that it's the U.S. Army Band that did it. It was written by the guys that are in the band. And I like big band and I like swing. It kind of harkens back to the old classic days of radio. Long story. I'll get to that some other time. I'm not even claiming that as my own. I'm just using it because they've made it available for me to use. They gave it out there. So, well, Rick, how's that any different than somebody using your voice for something that you gave to somebody else? With the understanding of what it was originally being used for and not being used for what it's being used for now. Under the circumstances by which it's being used. If it seems complicated, it's not. Quit ripping people off. Be yourself. I use this strictly as an example. Because I know for a fact that message will have fallen on those deaf ears about where my voice is being used, where it shouldn't be. But it once again, it's not that big a deal. I know the truth. If I'm working on a project and there's a mistake in it that nobody else will know but me, should I leave it in? The answer to that question is no. I should take that out because I will always know that it's there. Is there such a thing as perfection? Yes, there is such a thing as perfection. It exists all around us. There are things in this world that are perfect the way that they are. Just by their existence means they're perfect. There are things that human beings create that are perfect. Especially in the eyes of those who created it. That's what I'm striving for. That's what a lot of people should strive for. They should look at something after they have done the work on it and said, this is perfect the way that it is. Not everybody will agree. Not everybody will like it or love it. Some people might even hate it. But it's okay to hate perfection. It's okay to be okay with it. And it's certainly more wonderful if you've fallen in love with it, because that's what being, creating something. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. By creating something that is perfect is a good thing to strive for. Because it's real easy to do things like overwork a project. Oh my God. You'll hear musicians talk about that from time to time. You'll hear guys like me that edit audio and play around with sound and stuff. When we're working on a project, there's a point where you have to stop. I think artists understand that better, painters, graphic artists, individuals. It's so easy to just sit there and just start globbing on more color and going crazy with it. There comes a point where you have to stop. There's an old saying, and I wish Brian was here, the artist we've spoken to, Roger's father, where he and I would have had an interesting discussion with this, and I wish we'd had that, and we will. That there's an adage amongst painters, artists, that all art is never complete; it's merely abandoned. That it's never complete. That our art is never complete. Our artistic endeavors never cease. They just become abandoned and left as they were at the time. It's kind of a strange concept to work your head around. When you look at things like, all the famous pieces, when you look at something like the Mona Lisa, Da Vinci's great work, which, as it turned out, was really nothing more than it was a way for him to make a couple of bucks by doing multiple paintings of a woman in the same pose in the same background. All he did was swap out the face. It was sort of the 1400s. Is that what it was? 1400s, 1500s. It was whenever his day and time. It was his form of Photoshop. And he'd sit there and go, "Oh yes, I can work up a picture of your old lady. Not a problem. Give me a few thousand lira. We'll crank out a nice picture. You can hang it on the wall. It'll be big." Because there's been copies of Mona Lisa that have been turning up with different faces on them. If you look on my blog, rickcheddar.blogspot.com, and go deep in time toward the beginning, there's actually a picture up there of a topless Mona Lisa and a very amusing story that goes with it. But you have to wonder, back to the original question, at one point did Leo look at it and say, "It's finished"? Perhaps he didn't say that. Perhaps he said, "This is all I'm going to do with it. It's not complete. I could sit here and work on it for the rest of my life. I will abandon it here." It's the same thing with the other projects that I work with in sound. Some of the dramatic pieces, like one of my favorite things that we've ever done here with Brother Doug is his reading of Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. We played at Halloween. It, to me, is one of the most hysterical things I've ever been a part of. And what's beautiful about it was, shockingly, it was all done in one take. And we put a lot of theatrical effects into it, and we brought in J.C. King, who came in to do the you know, the kind of the presentation of it as sort of a masterpiece theater type thing, where he narrates the beginning and end of this thing. And we've added all these sound effects and all of this, and I went back through after we did the first edit on it, and I listened to it, and I just fell in love with it. It was just so much fun. And I kept working with it and working with it and working with it and working with it. And I, at one point, I had to stop. I mean, there's so I go back and I listen to it now, and I think, oh, I need to do this. I need to go back and fix this. I should put this in there. I should take that out of it. When in reality, so many people hear it for what it is, and not for, they're not looking for my perception of it. They're looking for their own perception of it. And that's the art. That's the creativity. A good piece of art speaks to you. Speaks to you. You go through an art gallery, and there might be 300 pieces hanging on the walls. But one of them will more than likely just talk to you, it seems. It captures you. It captures your imagination. It might invoke a thought, a feeling, an emotion. It might not. Hell, I got art hanging in this house that I don't know why I got hanging in here. Probably because it, quote unquote, looks nice. I think that's what we all do. You know, you go to a hotel, especially like a newer hotel, and they got some cheap piece of shit hanging on the wall. They put it there because it looks nice. It's not because it's meant to convey a feeling. You're not going to sit there and stare at it and go, oh, the lovely water on the beach. It makes me want to be on the beach. That kind of art, hotel artwork doesn't, it's there because it looks nice. Most of us hang pictures in our homes because it, that's right, looks nice. Now, I do have a few pieces that are hanging here that do more than just look nice to me. I got a couple in here that speak volumes to me. I got a couple in here that'll scare the crap out of you because I'm kind of into that sort of thing. And there's one that a very, very good friend of mine in my youth did before she died. Older woman at the time who painted it. She's the one that always told me that it always, no matter where you are, it always rains during Holy Week. Diehard Catholic, lovely lady, and Sicilian, not Italian. You know, I learned that mistake early on. I referred to her as Italian one time, and she about gouged my eyeballs out. She's Sicilian. She was Sicilian. She painted Italian scenes, but she's Sicilian. But she did a lovely piece for me once, specifically for me, because at the time I had spent a little time in Europe, and one of my favorite cities in Italy, and I love Italy. One of my favorite cities was Venice, and Venice is just such a beautiful city. And we were discussing that, and she agreed that, you know, Venice was in fact a very picturesque thing, and she asked me a question about it. And I said, I was struck by the beauty of the Grand Canal as it heads into the, you know, where everybody docks into, and you're near the, on the way to St. Mark's Square and all of that. And she painted this lovely scene of the Grand Canal and the ports there, the docking areas there, and a beautiful, very traditional Italian sailboat is there in the Grand Canal with the starkest of reds for a sail. And she did that painting for me specifically. And I, of course, I'm forever in her debt, and it hangs in the house. And nobody really knows that story. And come to think of it, I don't even know that my wife knows that story. At any rate, she will now. I think she put up with that painting because it looked nice. There's a very famous artist here in Memphis. His name is Lamar Sorrento. those of you here in the Memphis area know of Lamar's work. If you're not familiar with Lamar's work, next time you're downtown on Union Avenue, go west of Main there, and between Main and Front Street is a parking garage. It's called Parking Can Be Fun. It's on the south side of Union, and it is truly a fun place to park if you drive a smaller car. If you drive a really big car, they're pretty tight with the spaces in there, but there's a lot of artwork in there, especially like if you get in the upper, it's like, I don't know, five floors high. Lamar Sorrento has painted on every elevator door as you're waiting for the elevator to come get you from, say, the fourth floor. There's a painting out there, and it's usually of a blues guy, and his work is very unique and very different. I have two original Lamar Sorrentos hanging in this home. One of which my wife had because she knows him fairly well, and the second one was we commissioned him to do. Actually, she did, and they're both very unique and very cool and very different. The Center for Southern Folklore downtown has a bunch of them in there for sale. If you're interested in looking up for more, Google Lamar, Lamar Sorrento, Sorrento, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He's also a musician, by the way. And what I like about his work is the fact that it's different. It's very unique. It does speak. At least it speaks to me. And it's very, very recognizable. You can go anywhere and go, oh, that's a Lamar Sorrento. I recognize that work. And what's really cool about it is that it's not just his hand, it's his own identification. But when you hear the stories behind his work, for example, it takes him, I don't know, 20 minutes to do a piece, if that. And he's good. He really is. I have nothing but the best to say about Lamar's work. I don't think I've ever seen a bit of his work that I didn't like, to be honest with you. But it's creative. That's the key. It's fresh. It's different. That's critical for anybody that is in the creative arts for a living, is to be fresh, to keep your work yours, to have honest work. It's far easier when you have a conscience to lay your head down on your pillow at night, or whatever it is that you go to sleep, knowing that you have given honest work to those who subscribe to it. And I use that word subscribe because those of you who have jobs and you're working for somebody, your boss is subscribing to your work. He's paying you to do that job. And he wants you, at least he should, he wants you to turn in good, honest work. That's critical. Let that be a lesson to you kids, okay? Here, I didn't mean to get all preachy. I apologize. I just, you know, I'm not upset about anything at all. In fact, I'm quite relaxed and I'm having a fine evening of it. I just felt as though that would be something to discuss. I think we've all been victims of being copied or plagiarized or outright having our stuff stolen from us. It's not fun. It's uncomfortable. At times it can be so aggravating that it does make you somewhat angry. But that's a whole different thing. I mean, that's when you're angered by it. It's because it has happened time and time and time and time again. It just doesn't stop. That's when it becomes more than aggravating. Let your work be yours and be proud of it. If you like it, if you like what you do, no matter what it is that you do, if you like what you do, then it's good. That's all that matters. If you're happy with it, we're all happy with it. At least some of us. I know there's some people that listen to this and go, oh, this is a fucking load of horse shit. I don't like you, Rick. Hey, you know what? That's fine. That is fine. Not everybody's cup of tea. But I can tell you this. I'm happy with what I do, and I'm able to lay my head down with a clean conscience every night. Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
Well, speaking of famous comedians, so where is Sammy Martin?
Is there one in the room?
There's a Sammy in here somewhere, right?
And yeah, I went up there. Matter of fact, I followed Kevin Nealon, believe it or not, my first time ever on stage.
Damn.
Yep. He hadn't taken into consideration the altitude and decided he was going to hike down and take a leak and
come
back up. And he came back up kind of quick. And then he looked at my other friend Steve and fell face first into the campfire. I was one of the ensemble cast. Basically, the premise of the movie was all the dirty jokes you've ever heard in your life turned into bits for the big screen.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
So here we are getting up into the summertime. Lots of things that are going to be happening. Oh, goodness sakes. The third anniversary of Radio Memphis will be July the 1st. That's the actual date of its being birthed into the world. It was conceived long before then, but it actually was unloaded onto you people on the 1st of July of 2011. So coming up here on the 1st of July of 2013, or 2014, it will be our third birthday. Lots of things that are in the works. If we make it that far, if we haven't killed each other by then, don't really know. I can't really give you too much on that. I know that we'll wind up someplace, somewhere, at some time, doing something, as we usually do. And it may just happen just here in the studio. Doubt there'll be a birthday cake, but I'm sure there'll be lots of beverages of some sort imbibed. Because it would happen strictly by coincidence, really, because I really wasn't ready to launch it until August of that year. But it just so happened. We did it in July. We did it a month early. And it didn't even occur to me that at the time that the 4th of July weekend was, that was the 4th of July. It was right there upon us. So we hijacked the 4th of July as a way to have an excuse to blow things up and have fun and celebrate our birthday all at the same time. That's the attractive part of it. And that's kind of cool. So we got a bunch of stuff coming up there. Before then, there are some things that are being worked on that I really cannot elaborate on because there is some of very delicate natured stuff. And it does, I'll just tell you this, baby, it is going to be spectacular. I'm just going to leave it at that. Also, we are starting to work up more and more of a presence back down on Beale Street. We're going to be doing more. Jeff Janowitz and I have a new podcast that is coming soon, if it hasn't been launched by now. And it's going to be way cool. It's Jeff is doing it. He's I don't know what we only have a working title for it, but I can tell you the subject matter of it. That'll be kind of cool. It's going to be based mostly about blues music. And a lot of this came from all that stuff that we did at the BMAs. The 35th BMAs, where we sat down with Super Chicken on the podcast in this series. And the stuff we did down at Beale at the Rum Boogie when we were hanging out with John D'Amato and Eric Hughes and them. So, you know, that's all happening. There's, you know, people, we found that there's a quite an interesting group of folks that want to follow more about the blues. May not be your cup of tea. Those of you who subscribe to from Radioland, you don't really know what you're going to get. Quite frankly, I don't know what you're going to get either. But the basics of this blues show is it's going to be entirely about blues artists, blues music stuff about the blues, and that's where that will reside there. So if that's not your cup of tea, you might want to pass up on it. If it is, hey, more power to you. Pass it along. In the meantime, we'll focus more back on this. From Radioland, it's my thing, and I appreciate you doing it. You know, being a subscriber to this, our numbers are growing. We thank you so very much for that. I please ask that you pass us around. Tell your friends, tell your family if they're into this sort of thing, if they're looking for something new to check out. That might be your cup of tea. We invite you to at least give us a listen. Listen for, you know, hey, there's enough of them up there. You go start at the beginning, work your way up a little bit. If I don't have you by about the fourth or fifth episode, I'm never going to keep you. So take a listen to it, and it's available in a bunch of places. If you have iTunes, all right, we're up there on the iTunes. Just search Rick Chetter, RICCHETTER. We're also up in Stitcher. Player.fm. We're on Blueberry now, which is kind of cool because if you have a Roku device, the smart TV thing, a lot of people are getting the Roku. It's kind of cool. I'm going to get one myself, and I'll tell you all about it. If you have a Roku device, get the free, it's free, Blueberry channel, BLUBRRY, because they have a bunch of podcasts like this one, like from Radioland. I got a bunch of podcasts up there, and they've also got a video cast, on-demand video of people talking and bitching and doing stuff and having a good time, that you can enjoy all of that content through your television. Ain't that cool? Or on your tablet or your laptop or your desktop or whatever you use to consume information with. So check out Blueberry, BLUBRRY. They're there. See, I mentioned Stitcher, Blueberry. I mentioned Player.fm. Oh, TuneIn. That's where we are. TuneIn. TuneIn's kind of cool. It's a podcast directory, but it's also a directory of radio stations. So if you have the TuneIn app, yes, they have an app, you can hear us there and subscribe to us there. And you can also take a listen to Radio Memphis. It's all there. Just search all that up there. Of course, iTunes, I mentioned, and the home of the podcast where it all is hosted and taken care of. It's our friends over at Podbean. And what's cool is all the episodes can be found in that one little spot there. A lot of notes can be found there as well. And then a lot of other notes that I like to do, and I spread it out because I got a lot of folks that do follow my other blog. My God, I know it sounds like I'm just like spread all over the place, but that's how this business works. My blog at blogspot.com. Look for rickcheddar.blogspot.com, and you'll see some other notes that I don't put up on the Podbean thing. I don't know why I do that. I think I'm a little more at ease over there at Blogspot. I don't know. I've been doing that one for a long time. So, and it's really sort of just another place to, you can listen right there. There's a player there as well. And you can RSS subscribe through the podcast, the Blogspot. I got so much shit going on. I can't even keep it all straight. Like Podbean, iTunes, you're good to go. Have fun with it. And that is that. All right, kids, that's going to do it. I'm going to wrap it up and get on out of here for this time. You've heard what's coming up. So you've got that to look forward to. We appreciate you subscribing. We appreciate you giving us the chance to entertain you. Please, 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 I've said it three times, it's worth at least one mention to some of your friends, or at least one of them. Tell them we said hello and stay in touch. And remember, keep your work honest. Thanks again. I'm Rick Treader, and this has been From Radioland.